Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Good morning. It's not every day that you talk to a leader in the church on a telephone, and then you stop by the church to get better acquainted with him. And the first time you sit with him, he invites you to his pulpit. That's a rarity, I can tell you. In 47 years of ministry, that hasn't happened very often. And I honor your pastor, Pastor Charlie. Thank you so much for the privilege. I want to talk with you about a subject that's really very, very strong on my heart. I want to talk to you about changing the atmosphere. I believe that anywhere Jesus went, the atmosphere was changed. Do you agree with that? And I believe that God is saying to his church that wherever we go, we need to understand that we change the atmosphere, either positively, Bill, or negatively. Okay? I have the privilege of knowing some folks here that I've had the privilege of pastoring at one time or another, and some wonderful, wonderful people of God. Changing the atmosphere. John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 35. John 4 and verse 35. Do not say 4 months more and then harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus says very clearly, open your eyes. Look to the fields. They are ripe to harvest. You don't have to wonder whether or not people are ready for you. You need to understand what Jesus said. Now, I have to tell you, I have an older brother who I dearly love and respect so much. And I have honored him over the years, except a phone call recently in which, and this is a couple of years ago now, in which in that phone conversation, I was talking to him. I was excited about what God was doing on the streets in Orlando. And I was telling him what the Lord was doing. And he said to me, he says, well, brother, that's wonderful that the Lord's doing that in Orlando. It could never happen in Southern California. Now, he pastors a church in Southern California. He says, you can't do that in Southern California. And I had it up to here. About 15 minutes of sharing with him, and he's coming back at me why it couldn't happen in Southern California. And finally, I had to rebuke my older brother. I said, Don, I believe what Jesus said and not what you're saying. Jesus gives us a revelation, and we just read it in John 4, 35. This is a universal principle. It works in Haiti. It works in Guatemala. It works in Ghana, West Africa. It works in Florida. And guess what? It will work in Southern California. Well, it just happened to be that I was going to Southern California for a vacation, and Don had already invited me to preach on Sunday morning. And then he throws me a kind of a carrot because I was so excited about what God was doing on the streets in Orlando. And he says, well, listen, Phil, he says, I'll even let you teach my School of the Bible class, and you can teach on evangelism. And I said, man, I'll be happy to do that. But let's do one more thing. Give me one gal and give me one guy, and we will go out at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and I will prove to you that it works in Southern California just like it works in Orlando. And he was, I said, listen, just do it, okay? A guy and a gal, and I'll show you. Well, our niece from another brother, 20 years old, went with me, and there was a young man that was also 20. He was an evangelist, But neither one of them, they were excited about the Lord, but they'd never done any door-to-door stuff. We went out about two blocks from the church, and I said, that's where we're going right there. The very first door we went to, within 3 minutes, the lady was weeping and giving her heart to Jesus. In an hour and a half, we led another young man, an 18-year-old young man, to the Lord. And my niece carded exactly what happened in that hour and a half. And in that hour and a half, we had 11 incredible contacts. And some of those contacts were with one, two, three, four people at one time. Okay, so it wasn't just 11 contacts. I mean, it was multiple people. We probably ministered to about 25 or 30 people. 11 contacts that were positive, people received the message from us. Only two times did people say, well, you know what, we're busy. We really don't have time for this. Look at Acts chapter 18. I want to show you what I consider one of the greatest prophecies going. This is a prophecy. Maybe you have just kind of done what I've done through the years, just kind of read through this. And all of a sudden, it hit me one day in Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Now, notice the next words are Jesus' words. They're in red. If you have a Bible, red letter edition, they're in red. So Jesus is speaking here to Paul in a vision. He says, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. I have many people in this city. Say that with me. I have many people in this city. Say it again. I have many people in this city. You say, Pastor Phil, prove it. I can prove it. I handed your pastor five names today. In the last 3 weeks, I've been on the street one block from the church, right in back. The very first street you come to is Lullwater Street. Lullwater? That has to be a southern person. The Lullwater. Okay? But on Lullwater Street, 3 weeks ago, we led two people to Christ. This week, I led three more people to Christ. We've had five people, one block from this church, give their hearts and their lives to Christ. Okay? They need to be discipled. See, we're not just interested in making converts. Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, Pastor has those names. He has the addresses and he has the phone numbers. And I encourage this body to get behind this church and let's support it and let's follow up on these people and let's reach people for the Lord, because people are there. People are right here throughout this area. They need the Lord in a personal way. They need Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And there was a prophetic word that came forth during the worship. I don't know if you heard it loud and clear. Arise, shine. How many times did we sing that? How many times did we say that? Arise, shine. What's that all about? Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. At one point in my life, I was associated with a young man, and they were a part of our family that would not allow me to step in his house and talk about Jesus. Part of a family. Part of my extended family. But he said, you cannot say anything about Jesus. But you know what he couldn't stop? My shining for Jesus. Oh, I didn't say a word until one of his drunken buddies came driving in a boat one night, finds out that I'm a a minister, and he starts quizzing me about my being a minister, starts quizzing me about the Lord. And this young man that I'm talking about was sitting right there, and oh, he was just going through all kinds of stuff. But the guy was asking me questions. So guess what? I was answering his questions, and it was a testimony about the love and the grace of God. And this man was like, oh, boy, this kind of thing. You can't stop it. Listen, oh, they may quiet you in schools, but I want to tell you what, you shine for the Lord. And if you're a student, they can't quiet that. Okay, if you're a student, they can't quiet your testimony of the love of Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying to us today is that Jesus is telling us he has many people in this city. Through the eye of faith, I see this place jam-packed. I see multiple services. I see a place where you aren't going to be able to contain the people. Why? Because Jesus said there's a harvest out there, and we can reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, there's an incredible story. And the Bible says in verse 1 in chapter 9 of John, it says, and as he went along, see, Jesus never said, come on into the synagogue and hear the word that I have for you. Jesus went along. The Bible says that he even told us, go into the highways and the byways and compel others to come in. If you think the work of God and the kingdom of God is going to be established just by saying, come on and hear what the fivefold ministry in this church is declaring, it's not enough. We must be voices for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? In a few minutes, we're going to be praying for people, and we're going to be releasing the gift of evangelism to whoever would receive it today. But I want to tell you what, that's not going to be enough. Amen. If you don't have a heart for souls. Amen. And my first prayer for us today is, oh God, give us a heart for souls. And I'm going to tell you, back in Bible college in Minneapolis in the 1960s, oh yeah, that'll tell you a little something about how old I am. I was, 1965, I was a freshman. And every year, we had a missions convention, North Central University in Minneapolis. Every year there was a missions convention. And one year the missions convention theme was, seize me, Lord. The chorus, get a hold of my heart and help my eyes to see. Millions, Lord, around this wide world, just longing for more of you. Help me catch a vision of the law of the people that are lost in sin, searching for the answer to fill their heart within. Seize me, Lord, get a hold of my heart and help my eyes to see. Millions, Lord, around this wide world, just wanting more of thee. And I want to tell you, Pastor, I got away from everybody else, and I got on my face before God, and I sought him hour after hour after hour. And I said, Father, if nobody else gets it, I want to get this message. I want you to seize my heart. I want to tell you how spiritual I was my freshman year in Bible college. The first evangelistic opportunity we had, you know what? We went out into Minneapolis. Oh, man. And we went out sharing the love of Christ. My buddy and I, we were out there for 3 hours. I talked to one person, Gary, one lousy person. Why? Because I was scared to life. I don't say scared to death. I was scared. I didn't want to talk to anybody. If they asked me a question that I couldn't answer, I just didn't want that. So I'm going to tell you, I've been where some of you are right now. But I want to tell you what, if you're willing to spend some time in prayer, and you're willing to spend some time in the presence of God, He will seize your heart and He will seize your life, and you'll share the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going out there. He saw a blind man who had been blind from birth, the Bible says. And the disciples right away, "Rabbi, who sinned, the guy or the parents?" He says, "Neither. But that the works of God might be displayed in this man's life." God is up to something. God wanted to perform a miracle. See, what I see in the life of Jesus is I see power evangelism, John. Some of our neighbors, John and Bernice, are here today. Thank you so much for coming. Such a joy to have you with us. I'm just getting acquainted with these folks. But one of the beautiful things that I see here in this message is that Jesus has the insight, and we need to understand that we need to move in the miraculous. We need to believe God for the miraculous. When I woke up this morning, several times in prayer, I said, "Father, I thank you that I am dead. I choose to die this morning. I don't want to be seen. I want you to be seen. I want you to be seen." You see, if we will learn to die, it's not going to be difficult to be worried that somebody's going to make fun of us because we shared our testimony, or somebody's going to put us down, or somebody's going to ask us a question we don't have an answer for. You know what? After all these years of ministry, I have people asking me questions every once in a while. "Janet, I don't have an answer." So you know what I say? I said, "I don't know. But you know what? If you give me a couple of days, give me your phone number. Give me a couple of days, I'll dig it out and I'll give you a call." That's honest. That's honest. And you don't have to worry about always having an answer immediately. Now, Jesus goes and he spits on the ground and he takes that spittle and he makes a mud pie and he puts it on the guy's eyes. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't be amening. I wouldn't be that excited about somebody putting a mud patty on my eyes. But Jesus did it, and the blind man allowed it. He says, "Now you go to the pool of Siloam, and you're going to be made well." Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. Because that man was obedient, I'm wondering how many of us are going to be willing today and tomorrow and this week and this month and for the rest of this year. How many of us are going to step up to the plate and say, "Lord, I am going to be obedient to you"? Now, ladies, some of you will never do door-to-door evangelism. That's okay. But can you bake cookies? Can you bake cookies? Do you like coffee and tea? Invite some of your neighbors over for cookies and coffee and tea. And while you're in the midst of conversation, the most automatic thing in the world is to talk about your best friend and share the life of Jesus Christ with them. Oh, it's a beautiful thing that we can do. This man was miraculously healed. Now, of course, right away. Now, I want you to see something in verse 4 of this before I get somewhere else. Verse 4 of chapter 9 of the book of John. "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me." It is day, Pastor. It is day. We are alive and it is daytime. It is time to do the works of God. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Amen? Listen, I don't take credit for anybody that's healed that I pray for. So guess what? I'm not going to take credit if they're not healed immediately. Hello? You see, some of us get so bent out of shape about these things. Jesus said, "These signs are going to follow you as a believer. So lay hands upon the sick. Pray the prayer of faith." My son, Tim, is a youth evangelist, and he has two incredible children, Elisha and Debbie. Elisha just turned 9, but when Elisha was 3.5 years old, my son Tim was trying to explain to Tim, to Elisha, the authority of the believer. At 3.5 years of age, he was teaching his son the authority of the believer. John, you're going to like this one. I guarantee you're going to like this one. This guy's really into the authority of the believer. And Elisha's taking it in. We have a game that we play anytime the grandkids come to the house. And the game is bear. And guess who's the bear? Ah! Papa. Papa's the bear. Well, Elisha was running around, 3.5 years of age, running around, and Papa was going after him. He jumps in the bed and throws the covers over his face, throws the sheet over his face. And I jump up on the bed. I'm getting ready to pounce on him and tickle him. And he throws the sheet off and says, "Stop, Papa, in Jesus' name." And I did one of these. I said, "Whoa," you know, and I went over. He was getting it, wasn't he? "Stop, Papa, in Jesus' name." You know what? Less than a year ago, we were getting ready to wrestle, which is another ministry we have with the grandkids. And Elisha was ready to wrestle, and I was having problems in my stomach. And I was laying down, and he comes in the room, and he says, "Papa, I'm ready to wrestle." I said, "Elisha, Papa's not ready. I've got some stomach cramps right now, honey. I need a touch from the God." I looked at Elisha. I said, "Son," I said, "would you pray for Papa right now?" Elisha laid his hand upon me, folks. He said, "Jesus, heal my Papa." That was it, Bill. And in just a matter of seconds, I was totally healed. Totally healed. Totally healed. The God we serve is a God of miracles. And Jesus said these signs are going to follow them that believe. Now, we see signs following Jesus' life. And, of course, the religious crowd didn't like it. The Pharisees came up against the situation, and they're wanting to investigate. They're wanting to find out about the healing. And, of course, one of the real things they found out is that Jesus had the audacity to heal this man on the Sabbath day. Oh, my goodness. They were losing their cookies over that. I mean, they were so upset at him because he wasn't honoring the Sabbath. Well, let me tell you something about Jesus. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Hello? One of the things I've just read through the Gospel of John again in the last few weeks, and it tells me time after time, Jesus is declaring that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Read the Gospel of John and let it live in you. What this world needs is to know that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, what do you do, Pastor Phil, when you run into somebody that doesn't believe Jesus is the Messiah? I'll never forget a couple years ago, I had a guy that he was somewhere between he says, "I'm not sure if I'm an agnostic or an atheist." He said, "but you don't want to talk to me." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, let's go and let's talk." 20 minutes later, he was giving me what for, and I was giving him the word. I was giving him the word. I just kept feeding him the word of God. Did he accept Christ that day? No. But you see, the word tells us, Paul says, some are going to sow, and some are going to water, but God gives the increase, right? And so you don't worry about that. I knew that I was going to be sowing in that guy's life. Sometimes you know in 15 seconds that they're not ready for the gospel. They're not ready to receive, but you need to sow it. Amen? And in this case, I was watering some because some others had sown in this guy's life. But you don't step back. You step up. You step up to your miracle. You walk up to that miracle in the name of the Lord. And you know what? The reason I do door-to-door, and Gary's gone out with me a few times, the reason I do door-to-door evangelism is because, one, people are more open in their own home than they are anywhere else. They're more comfortable there. So why not contact people in a comfortable place for them? And then in prayer, make sure you're prayed up and make sure the anointing of the Spirit of God is there and the Word of God is full in your life so that when you step up and you begin to talk to them, you are ready with the answer of the hope that lies within you. You're ready to present the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, what if people slam the door in your face? You know what? In the last 20 years, I have not had a person slam the door in my face. Don, it's very difficult to slam the door in somebody's face when they say, hi, I'm Pastor Phil Weissen, and I'm representing Identity Church in town, just out in the neighborhood getting acquainted with my neighbors. So, hi, neighbor. What's your name?
Don.
Yeah, okay. All right. See, it's very difficult. You're smiling like crazy. They're not going to slam the door in your face, but I'm going to tell you what. Don't try to shove the gospel down somebody's throat. That's when they'll slam the door in your face. But if you are loving people the way Jesus loved you and me, if you are being kind, if you are being tender, if you're willing to listen to them, if you're willing to wade through some garbage that they have in their life and some sad stories that they have to tell, that's okay, because then you just begin to talk to them, give them stories about Jesus. And let me tell you, it works. It works at the university level as well. A number of months ago, I had an opportunity to start a ministry at Full Sail University in Winter Park. We were asked to go there 2 hours a week to share the message of Christ. And all we simply did is we had a table, we passed out free water, we passed out little bags of chips, and we had two ladies in the church I was pastoring at the time that made homemade cookies. And let me tell you, how many college students are going to turn down homemade cookies that are free? Everything was free. We have people come and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know, what's the catch here? And I just look at them and smile and say, well, do you have just 2 minutes so I can do an interview with you? Oh, yeah, I have that. And instead of doing the interview that we do door to door, and the second question is, are you attending church on a regular basis? I know that university students, 98% of them aren't going to church anywhere. Okay, so I don't want to mess with that. So I just simply asked that university student, do you consider yourself to be a spiritual person? What's that spirituality look like? And let me tell you, you can get from here to here. Okay, and you're going to get an earful of what their spirituality looks like. Then you just ask them, have you ever studied the life of Jesus? Have you ever taken a look at the life of Jesus? And they have different responses. And then you just tell a couple of stories. I would tell stories like, you know, one day Jesus was with his disciples. And he said, who do people say that I am? And they spoke up and they said, well, most people think you're a prophet. Well, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Right there. If Jesus wasn't the Son of God, Don, he needed to say, hey, man, thanks for the compliment, but I'm not him. But you know what? Instead, he said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, in our vernacular, right on, Peter, I am who you claim me to be. I am the Son of the living God. And then I tell them the story of John chapter 4, and I get in the middle of the story where Jesus is talking with the woman at the well and finally asks her, why don't you go get your husband, bring him back, and we'll talk some more. She says, I don't have a husband. And he had never met her, and he said, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. She goes, whoa, I perceive you're a prophet. You know, they talk a little further, and she says to him, well, you know, I know Messiah is coming, the one they call Christ. When he appears, he's going to reveal everything to us. He's going to explain it to us. Jesus looked at her, and he said, I who speak to you am he. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Clear?
Yeah.
He's declaring himself to be who? The Messiah. I who speak to you am he. If Jesus were saying those words to you right now, would you not get the message?
Yeah.
You would get the message loud and clear. Wow, he's the Messiah. And what did she do? She ran into the city and talked to a bunch of other men That's typical of her. She'd already had five husbands. She was shacked up with another. Okay? So she talked to a bunch of men. Man, you got to meet somebody that told me about my life. And they came and they believed. And later on, they said, you know, we're not just believing because you told us to believe, but man, we've heard it from his mouth. We know that he is the Son of the living God. I can take you through story after story of the scripture. I can take you to chapter 11 of the book of John, where Martha and Mary say, Lord, the one you love is very sick. And Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick. And he said, oh, there's a reason for this. And in chapter 11, in verse 4, it says, no, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. God wanted to bring glory to his Son through the healing and through the raising up from the dead, Lazarus. Well, Jesus gets there a couple days late. 2 days he waits. By the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now, Martha and Mary both said, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to what else he said. The one who believes in me, verse 25, will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Folks, I've got news for you. If you're a believer, you're never going to die. Oh, your flesh may die. Your physical body may get under the ground, but you are not going to die. As soon as you pass from this life, you are glorified. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Man, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. I was in Lakeland a couple weeks ago, and one of my buddies was getting ready to, he was introducing me to preach, and he says to the crowd, he says, now this man is retired, and I'm sitting back saying, what? He knows that I'm full-time in this thing. He says, well, he's retired. And I got back up and I says, well, you know, I really haven't retired. I've refired. I'm telling you what. I have refired. I don't ever plan to retire from ministry because the call of God is on my life. And to the last moment of my life, Pastor Charlie, I want to be declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to be discipling somebody in the ways of God. That's what I'm all about. Those two things. Leading people to Jesus and then discipling them and growing them up in the kingdom of God. Other than that, don't have to do it. That includes preaching. That includes teaching. And I love it. I love both. Probably tell. I hope you can tell. I love it. But oh, leading somebody to Jesus, there's nothing like it. A couple years ago, 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I'm knocking on a door in Winter Springs. Lady answers the door. And I said, hi, I'm Pastor Phil Weissen. I'm representing Church Alive in town, just out in the neighborhood, getting acquainted with my neighbors. And she said, you are not going to believe this. She said, last night, I called on God. I said, God, if you care anything about me, you will have somebody from a church somewhere to come and talk to me. The very next morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was knocking on her door. That lady came into the life of the church the next day. Within 1 month, we had 18 of her family that were attending our church on an ongoing basis. Okay? It works. It flat works in the name of the Lord. I was an associate pastor at Faith Assembly in Orlando and heading up the evangelism team. And before they moved into their new building, I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, what we're going to do is over the next 2 years, we're going to, it was 18 months before we got in the new church. I said, over the next 18 months, we're going to be canvassing within a 2-mile radius of the church. within 18 months, we had 600 people that gave their heart to Jesus. Okay? It's no accident that that church has gone from 4,000 to almost 7,000 every Sunday now. Okay? Because people are not being quiet about the Lord. People need the Lord. There was one day I was knocking on doors, and I'd never had this happen before in my life, but the first four homes I talked to, people accepted Christ. And you say, well, do those people come to church? Well, that was a Saturday. The next day, two of those ladies that accepted Christ, one came with her husband, the other came with five other family members. Those two families stuck in the church and were still attending the church after I left to go and pastor Church Alive in Winter Springs. Okay? And the one day, that first day when she brought five of her family members, three of them had already taken off and we were getting ready to leave for home. And I said, where's your family at? She says, oh, well, three of them are in the foyer. I said, well, let's go get them. So we went after them. And found out they weren't in the foyer. They were outside waiting for everything to be done. Well, I went outside and I talked to those three people, and those three people came to life in Jesus Christ. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about intentionally sharing your faith, making a difference. Now, you see, if you are sitting there with the attitude, well, bless God, Pastor Phil, we love you, and we're going to pray for you. We're even going to give to your work. Well, la-di-da. You've missed the whole point. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? My witnesses. Listen, if you think that all you need to do is get a couple of fivefold ministry evangelists in this church to do the work of God, you're missing the boat. The beauty of it, get this, every one of us can have the privilege. Every one of us can have the privilege. Think of how you felt, sir, when you led your first person to Christ. I can tell you're a soul winner, brother. And I think about that first person you led to Jesus. I can still remember that at 12 years of age, inviting my first friend to Jesus. Okay? And it's continued all through life. We're going to close. It's 12. Some of you just can't wait to eat. But you know what? Jesus has showed up. Jesus has shown up. And oh, way, way before I ever got in this pulpit, your worship team, they were worshiping. They were leading us into the presence of God. We've been in the presence of the Lord since we walked in this building. And of course, most of us have prepared our heart long before we walked into the building, okay? And we were ready. We were ready. Had the privilege of going to Panama with my wife. She's my Panamanian princess. And I told her that that the first trip, long trip we would take would be to Panama. We went in December, the 5th through the 15th. And I asked her, I said, honey, I said, what God's laid on my heart, this is not just a vacation. I really believe this is an opportunity to reach many of your family for the Lord. And many of her family are already Christian, but there are many that are not. And it just so happened that on the 8th of December, it was Mother's Day. And her mother is 92 years of age. And so a bunch of family gathered. There were 29 of us in, just sandwiched into the family room. And I shared my testimony and she interpreted, because there were only three family members that knew any English at all. So I had to go through her with Spanish the whole time. And you have to be real careful when you're around her, because you can't say anything. She knows She speaks Portuguese, English, Spanish. She understands Italian and French. So beware. Do not speak negatively around her. I mean, she will pick it up. But anyway, she was interpreted for me, and we gave our testimony, and I shared a couple of those little stories that I shared with you. And over half of her family members that day gave their hearts to Jesus. And God so impacted their life, I began to pray. And the Lord said, okay, you go back at the end of July and invite them to a family retreat. So we're going to have a family retreat. She has over 100 family members there in Panama City. And so we're believing that when we have this family retreat, we're going to have 50, 60, 70 family members that are going to gather. And guess what? We're going to have the time of our life. I mean, we're going to play volleyball, and we're going to be playing all kinds of sports, and we're just going to have a lot of fun. But you know what? In the middle of it all, there are going to be two sessions about Jesus. Two sessions about Jesus, and we're going to bring in a harvest again, and we're going to be discipling these new converts and helping them grow in the things of God. What I'm saying to you today, join me in the privilege. Young people, listen, kids, get it now. We need you. When we begin to do outreaches around here, we need you there. Let me tell you something. If you have a child, I usually don't let children come out with us until they're about 8 or 9 years of age. And of course, they have to be disciplined. They can't be rowdy and doing crazy stuff. Okay. But when people go to their door and they look out there and they see children and they see young people, man, they open, hey, nice to have you here. What's it all about? And man, they just melt. When children and young people are around, especially when they see teenagers and they find out that you're from a church, oh my word, they can't believe, for one thing, that a teenager would go out representing a church. Beautiful things happen. I'm inviting you to join in the greatest opportunity there is in the world. And Jesus said it best when he said in Matthew Chapter 28, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. I'm inviting you to join with me and join with your pastor and join with the leadership team here at Identity Church, and let's make a difference. Let's go out there in faith. Oh, listen, we've got to be prayed up. We got to be full of the Holy Spirit. We got to be full of the Word of God. And when you are, I guarantee you, signs will follow. You are going to see the miraculous. Okay? We have what we call divine encounters. Every time I go, I'm praying for divine encounters. Okay, I tried to get some people, but it was a last minute thing, so I couldn't get anybody from the church to come and join me. But I'm going to be doing more evangelism in this city. I live in this city now. Okay, so my Jerusalem is Deltona. Okay, my Jerusalem is Deltona. So I have to be about his business in Deltona in the name of the Lord. Okay, and I'm encouraging you to rise up. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. What we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to talk to the Lord. Would you just join me for just a moment? Lord, we share with you. You have shown up in our midst today, and there's a purpose behind this service. There's a purpose behind this church. You didn't just establish this church to be able to sit and soak in of the wonderful teachings that they're receiving service after service, but you've called us to go and make disciples. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I don't know everyone in this fellowship. And I'm wondering, you know, it would really be a sad thing if we were to sing about Jesus and talk about Jesus, and you're sitting here and you don't know him. You don't have a personal relationship with him. You know, the word says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus made it very, very clear that he was God. I'm wondering across the auditorium how many would slip up a hand and say, Pastor Phil, would you please pray for me? I want a relationship with Jesus. Or I want to get in the kind of relationship with Jesus that I need to. God has been speaking to my heart. I need to get closer to him. How many hands across the auditorium would be slipped up? You'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I need him. Or I need to reconnect. I need to recommit my heart and life to Christ. How many across the auditorium would slip up a hand? Thank you, Father. Now, if you're being sincere, look at me a second. One, I want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate you for being a believer. But can I ask you, where are they? Where are the unbelievers? And you know what? Let me suggest this, that you do something better. And there was a pastor in Michigan that did this. Man, he did it very effectively. His outreach team would go out every week. They lead Buku people to Christ in Flint, Michigan. And every Sunday morning when the altar call came, they were instructed to make their way and make a public commitment of their hearts and life to Christ. Doesn't that make sense? And that's what they did. And so I'm not bashing anybody. But I'm simply saying we need to be out there. Now, you can say to me, Pastor Phil, where are the five that you led to Christ? I can tell you this, that's why I was out yesterday. I was knocking on their door, and I was inviting them to come and be a part with me. I invited them to come and sit with us, okay? Mildred, you didn't make it, did you? Is there a Mildred here? Michelle. Michelle, did you make it? I didn't think I saw her. She was really going to try to make it. But you know what? You don't stop. You don't stop. Hey, can I ask you, once you accepted Christ, did you not stumble a little bit? Did you not fall on your face a few times? Did you not get discouraged a couple times? Did you not show up? Did you not attend? Of course. You know, so what do? That's why we got their phone number. That's why we've got their address, because we're going to go back and we're going to share the love of Christ. And eventually they'll come to a Bible study. They'll come to a small group, and eventually they'll come into the life of the church. Okay? They just will. But I want to pray. I want to pray today. And we are just incredibly blessed, Pastor. Don and Janet, I'm just getting acquainted with these folks. But would you believe they've been evangelists and have been in 81 countries? This couple right here, they've been in 81 countries of the world preaching and teaching the gospel message. Isn't that awesome? I guarantee you, if they lay hands upon you today, something's going to happen. Now, I'm going to ask Don and Janet to meet us over here and just kind of stand over here. And then Anna and I are going to stand over here. And what we're going to do, is there anointing oil, Pastor? Do we have anointing oil? Okay. Do we have a second one?
Let me add a little bit to
Yes,
this.
Go ahead.
Dan and Terry, come up here too. They just came back from Ghana.
Here you go.
This Don. Is about
Thank
soul
you,
winning.
Father. Yes.
This is about the fivefold evangelist releasing into the body a hunger for souls. So as they lay hands on you, as Dan and Terry lay hands on you, listen, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost. It's time to get the uttermost.
Yes.
It's time to refire, to rekindle the fire that some of us have let go out.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, when you start feeding the fire of evangelism, realizing that there are people that are dying without Jesus, the other stuff will take care of itself.
That's right.
It'll take care of itself.
That's right.
So I'm, as a senior leader, I'm asking you, come. Mm-hmm. Get hands laid on you. Mm-hmm. Local evangelism, 81 countries, missions. Mm-hmm. Where's Karen? Karen, come up here. We have missions going on in our church.
Amen.
But if we won't do it here, why go there?
That's right.
So this is a combination. I mean, when God told me I couldn't be in the pulpit, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. You know what he's saying? He says, you don't have some of the things the body needs right now.
Jesus.
That's why God sent Phil. So come, spend some time in the altar. I'd go right on down. I wouldn't let none of them get away from me. Come and get it.
Sure.
And get refired. That's what I'm asking.
Praise God.
I also, the basket's open to sow into to Phil's ministry. And I ask you to give. So come forward.
Praise God. Folks, the thing, before we begin to pray, let me just say this. The first thing, as you come forward, make sure you're asking the Lord, God, give me a fresh hunger and thirst for souls. Give me a heart for souls, first and foremost. Listen, we can release a gift of evangelism on you, but it's not going to do one bit of good unless you have a heart for souls. Unless you have a heart to see people come to know Jesus. But if you have a heart for that, I guarantee you that gift of evangelism is going to flourish in your life and in your midst. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.